City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLDT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 294. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Deb Pierce.
Hello, Deb.
Hello, Amy Matheny. Happy spring.
Happy spring. It officially is here.
I know. Can you see? I'm looking out the window right now. It is a beautiful day. Is it nice there?
No.
Oh.
But that's okay. We've had nice weather. Then we had snow. And now the snow's melted. So yes. It's kind of a bit gray right now.
Oh, it is a nice day here. So much so, my bike is ready. My tennis racket for outdoor tennis is ready.
Oh, girl.
I know it. I'm going to be so active this summer, I can't even stand it.
I got new tennis shoes, like tennis shoes. You know how I call everything a Coke and everything a Kleenex, even though I use puffs and tennis shoes are all tennis shoes. But I have never really had an official pair of tennis shoes until this moment.
And that is an American expression, right? Tennis shoes, running shoes, that stuff. We just call them all running shoes.
Well, I call them all tennis shoes. Maybe some people call them all running shoes. I don't know. Sneakers, maybe. Some people call them sneakers.
Yeah, sneaks, yeah.
Sneaks.
So what kind did you get? Little court shoes, I guess.
Little Prince court shoes. They're very cute. Hopefully these will not make me tumble ass over elbow. Did you love Mitchell Fain and I giving you a shout out?
No, I loved that show. Thank you very much. What was the show number in case people want to go back?
Oh, my God.
Well, it's the show with Mitchell Fain.
Yes.
The show, the most recent show.
It was actually the Natasha Richardson show, which should be a serious show. And I think usually sometimes when we're talking about the most intense things, it's show 292. When you're talking about the most intense things, you also have to talk about something that's funny.
I agree. And your life that day was funny. Ridiculous. It created such a visual. The way you described what happened to you while you were hitting some practice serves at your tennis club was so succinct and so descriptive that I was there. Like, I could smell it, I could hear the echoing, and I could feel you tumble. And with the exception of a bruised elbow, because I know that hurts,
Hilarity ensued. I would give anything to if they had a camera in there.
Well, Mitchell said it himself. There probably is.
There isn't. My guys checked.
Oh, you found out. Okay.
I found out. It became kind of legend around the club once I told this one.
Are people talking? Did anybody see it? Did anyone come up and say, oh my gosh, I saw that or no?
No, nobody saw it. I think one little old lady may have seen it, but she may have pretended not to have seen it. It might have scared her way too much. It was her first day on the practice lanes.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's very funny. Who would have known that it would be such a physical sport for you? My goodness.
Literally, I was in class yesterday, and I did something where I jumped up and my feet kind of got tangled. I'm like, this could become a pattern with me. I thought, Do not tuck, duck, and roll. Do not do it. But I did. I had a little moment where that heart like skipped a beat. Like I was like, I'm going to fall on my face again.
Right?
And I'm not that good of a tennis player, but I just get so into
it. You're a bit clumsy. I mean, you admitted to hurting your nose on several occasions.
Yes. It's quite funny.
What's that about? I've never broken anything.
You didn't know that, right? You didn't know that I'm supposed to look like Elle McPherson.
I did not. I did not know that you had hurt your nose several times. I did not.
I had a supermodel contract until I fell on my face 5 times.
Well, look at that. See, that was not your plight. That was not your path.
It was not my path. It's so
totally. You
were
meant to be on the Windy City Queercast, friend.
It's totally true.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I'm with you if you want to play the tennis. You know, I may be coming to Toronto. I'm still trying to maneuver this whole thing. Because the big International Lesbian and Gay Travel Association convention is happening in Toronto in early May.
That's right.
And I really want to come. I also want to come because they want me to come up and do some reporting around the Niagara area. And I've never been to Niagara.
I live there.
You live in the Niagara area?
I live in Niagara.
Okay, see, this is what I should be doing. Is it pretty there?
It's gorgeous. You can stay with me unless they're putting you up in a hotel, which is probably much nicer. But yes, I live in the Vineyards. I live 8 minutes from Niagara Falls.
Wow. Now, is Niagara Falls different from looking at it from the Canadian side and looking at it from the New York side?
Yeah, it's prettier on the Canadian side.
Is that true?
Well, listen, we will cross the border. It's a bridge. We'll cross the bridge, bring your passport. Well, you'll have it anyway. We'll cross over, and you can see the Rainbow Falls or Niagara Falls. A crazy guy just jumped in there 2 weeks ago and survived.
Oh, my God. Really?
I know. Yeah.
That is wild. Yep. I need to get a new passport. Mine's expired practically.
You better get on it.
Will they be okay if it's going to expire in like a month when I come there?
No, as long as it's current.
Okay.
So I will literally drive you across. I'll take you to the casino. I'll take you to Clifton Hill, which is like a weird little mini Vegas thing now. It's got... Well, it's just amazing. There's haunted houses and the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum. Niagara Falls is, I mean, it's kind of that double-edged sword. It's kind of trashy and kind of kitschy, which I really enjoy. But the Niagara region in general, Port Dalhousie, St. Catharines, all of those areas that are called the Niagara region, it's like the Napa Valley of Canada. It's the wine region here in Ontario. And it's gorgeous. I'll take you to a vineyard.
Well, they said that they would take me to the Shaw Festival, which I've always wanted to go to. I don't think there'll be anything playing in May.
That's Niagara on the Lake. There's something playing all the time.
Is there really?
There will be something there. There will be something at the Shaw. And, you'll love it. Yeah, you'll love it. We'll get fudge.
We'll get... That sounds dirty.
go get fudge to Niagara. I really think that would be something for their tourism bureau.
I think so, especially for their GLBT campaign.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, and I think our good friend Christopher may be doing some of the touring. And so I don't know. I'm trying to make it work. It would mean me being in Toronto for a rather long time, so I'm not sure how that will all go.
Listen, you've looked after me. I hope Toronto and we can look after you because we've done a lot together with me coming down to Chicago, and you haven't been here since Halloween 2007.
I know.
So you've got to get back up here. And especially, you know, in May, it's very pretty.
Yeah. Well, I am checking it out, and I would love nothing more than to do some reporting from Toronto with you, which would be awesome. So
it would be off the hook.
We are trying to make it work. Hey, I wanted to say, you just mentioned that I hadn't been up there in 2 years since Halloween, and we kicked off Windy City Gay Idol.
Oh, it's already started?
We have started, and we kicked it off this past Sunday, just a couple of days ago. And honestly, what a great kickoff night at Stargaze. We had so much fun at the lesbian bar Stargaze on up in Edgewater, Andersonville. And we had a packed house, and we had lots of guys competing, which I loved, in the women's bar. None of them won. I have to tell you, it's almost been a shutout that a man's ever been one of the top two to represent Stargaze. I think it has been a complete shutout. I don't think we've ever had a guy advance. We had some really great guy singers. And we got Marla, who you may remember was one of the finalists with Corey last year. And we got another great singer, Jennifer, who was in the semifinals. I can't remember if Jennifer made it to the finals. So we got two great singers at Stargaze, and we'll be at Jackhammer next Tuesday. So that will be a lot of fun. And I think what's super cool is we're going to have a guest appearance at Jackhammer this coming Tuesday with the lead of Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
No.
Is coming to perform for us while we count ballots. So that's going to be a fun night. Plus, we're giving away tickets to Hedwig and the Angry Inch. So I can't wait.
That sounds amazing. I can't believe, because I'm coming down, coming down for the finals, right? June 13th.
Yes.
That's great. Well, good luck to everybody. And if you haven't, how do people enter now? Is it too late to sign up?
You know, they just need to show up at a bar and be one of the first 20 people to sign up. And we've got events coming up, and you can go on our website. It's probably, there's an ad right on our QueerCast site, but just go to WindyCityMediaGroup.com and click on the Gay Idol button. I'll have rules, perfect, regulations, pictures from last year. But it is so much fun. If you sing or you have a friend who sings, we're still having so much fun with this thing.
How come you haven't sang at it yet? Do you ever sing at it?
Oh, I have. Yeah, okay. I've definitely filled some we need to stretch to count ballots, and then okay. I usually do a little Celine number.
Oh, as you do.
As you do, friend.
As I do.
It's true, because I'm Canadian. And Canadian. Yes. But yeah, I didn't sing much last year, but we're going to be at so many good bars this year, guys. We're going to be at Jackhammer. Then we're at Spin. We're at Mary's Attic. We're going to be at Roscoe's for the first year this year on Wild Card Night, like right across the street from Sidetrack, another huge bar. We've kind of, the bars are bigger, and it's bigger, louder, faster, funnier. It's good.
You guys have so many great bars in Chicago.
We do.
Nothing compares to, we do not have anything even close. When I go to Sidetracks, honestly, I've never really been to a club like that in my life.
Yeah.
Maybe one in South Beach, but nothing compares.
Yeah.
Nothing compares
to you.
Now, where is Sinead?
Where is Sinead?
Somewhere, isn't she?
I don't know. Straight, gay, preggers, not preggers. I don't know what she is.
Ripping up pictures of the Pope, not ripping up pictures of the Pope, married to Peter Gabriel. I don't know what she's doing.
She was very exciting. She was very newsworthy. Hey, let's go to the news. We have lots of news. I have two news segments today, too. Oh. Kirk and I just had a lot to say. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to do the news, and we're going to tell you what's going on at the movies. Our review of I Love You, Man, with Richard Knight Jr., here on the QueerCast. We'll be back with Deb Pierce.
Hi, I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
Yeah, and I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
I just created a revolutionary aluminum pint bottle. Great new way to enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Wow. See, I just designed a new game day delicacy to be enjoyed with your great tasting beer, the 8-layer dip.
Well, the aluminum pint has a wider mouth, giving every sip a superior flow that delivers the great taste.
That's terrific. Most people flow from beef to bean to sour cream to cheese to guacamole to salsa to veggies. See, I'm not most people, though. I flow all the way to jambalaya.
Huh. Also, it's got a resealable cap that makes sure every sip tastes as fresh as the first.
Well, my dip is so hearty, it can last from a day game to a night game.
This isn't a competition, you know.
Okay, fine. You advance the science of drinking great-tasting beer, and I advance the art of enjoying it.
Introducing the new aluminum pint bottle from Miller Lite. Just another way for you to enjoy the great taste. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. The Hawaii Senate has rejected an effort to force a vote on same-sex civil unions. This development essentially killed the measure, even though a majority indicated it supports the unions. Senate Judiciary Chairman Brian Taniguchi said the bill could be amended and revived, but probably not until next year.
A Washington Post report states that 7% of black men in Washington, D.C. are HIV positive, making HIV prevalence among black men in the district 40% higher than in sub-Saharan Africa.
The New Hampshire House has passed a same-sex marriage bill. The initial vote was against the measure, but the margin was so close, 183 to 182, that a representative requested a second vote. After intense lobbying, it passed 186 to 179. The bill advances to the state Senate. Democratic Governor John Lynch, who is against same-sex marriage, has not indicated if he would veto the bill.
New Hampshire legislators will soon vote on two GLBT-centered bills. One measure would allow same-sex couples to marry, and the other would expand the state's human rights laws to include protections for trans individuals. The House Judiciary Committee deadlocked 10-10 on both measures, meaning that they will proceed to the full chamber without recommendations.
In Ohio, trans woman Chris Mason has been found guilty of exercising her husband, 73-year-old James Mason, to death. Authorities said that Chris, 41, forced James to engage in stressful activity in a pool for over 2 hours. He collapsed and died the following day after Chris had him removed from life support.
Same-sex dating has made its way to iPhones with the launch of Grindr, one of the first iPhone applications geared towards gay and bisexual men. Grindr presents users with a list of nearby strangers. From here, users can strike up real-time chats and, if there is chemistry, choose to reveal their exact locations.
The publication of gay magazine Genre will be suspended due to the ongoing recession. Genre was launched in 1991 as a quarterly magazine focused on LGBT life.
And in world news, a Spanish man, Ruben Jimenez, age 25, claims to be expecting twins. He underwent a sex change procedure similar to that of Thomas Beatty, the American man who gave birth, but kept his female reproductive organs intact. Jimenez babies are reportedly due in September.
In London, England, Nadim Kurumbukas and Yusuf Dulu are accused of killing Kurumbukas' ex-lover, Charlie Davies, by setting him on fire. A female witness told the court that she heard screams as she approached Davies' home and saw him stumbling down his driveway in flames. The prosecutor claims that Kurumbukas murdered Davies for revenge after they broke up.
And in entertainment news, Iron Chef America star Kat Cora and her partner Jennifer are each expecting a son. In related news, Kat Cora is partnering with Disney to open a new Orlando restaurant called Cucina this fall.
Singer and actress Leanne Rimes has been taking heat for reportedly having an affair with actor Eddie Cibrian, but Rimes' husband, Dean Sheremet, has allegedly been in an affair himself with another man. Witnesses have seen Sheremet making out with and performing fellatio on makeup artist Neela Robertson.
And Academy Award nominee Anne Hathaway is attached to star as Judy Garland in the film and stage adaptations of Gerald Clark's biography, Get Happy, The Life of Judy Garland. Based on hundreds of interviews, plus Garland's own unfinished and unpublished autobiography, Get Happy portrays the dramatic highs and lows of the icon's life.
And there's more news to come from Windy City Times.
Megan Mullally from Will and Grace.
I've been all around the world.
Oh my God!
Had my pick of any.
You're a big Liz.
You'd think I'd be happy, but I'm not.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. I Love You, Man, the likable comedy which stars pudgy, sweet-faced Paul Rudd and the easygoing Jason Segel continues the new enlightened direction that quote-unquote guy movies have been taking as of late. These movies have now passed the do don't touch me faggot phase and have instead taken to heart the importance of male bonding without all the dreary sexual hang-ups. I love that the term bromance has entered the lexicon, and now here is yet another comedy that says it's okay for straight guys to get cozy and intimate with one another. And they won't lose an ounce of testosterone if they admit to liking a hardcore chick flick like Chocolat. That's just one of the funny gags in I Love You, Man, a movie that's sure to be a crowd pleaser. Everyone in the film, a batch of crude talkers all, are masters of snark, especially the ladies who trash talk like grown-up versions of the Heathers. Everyone, that is, except Rudd, who does his best to be hip but can't quite join the cynical parade of humanity around him. Andy Samberg plays his gay younger brother, a gym trainer with a thing for straight guys. And the dad, played by J.K. Simmons, affirms that Andy's his best friend. The gay character is again shown as an example for the straight ones to look up to and emulate. This is another trend that's quite heartening to see. The plot revolves around Rudd, who only has women friends trying to find a best man for his impending nuptials. By chance, he meets up with Siegel, and the two improbably become best buds. Their bonding over their shared enthusiasm for the arena rock group Rush is hilarious. With all the characters spewing snark left and right, however, the movie really brightens considerably when Siegel enters the picture. He's a big, shambling guy, one of those guys that's completely comfortable in their own skin. So laid back and cool, you can't help but like him. Though the comedy bits in the movie are rather hit or miss, They rely much too heavily on Rudd's unfailing ability to get laughs with his nerdish line readings. The relationship between the two friends is enough to put I Love You Man in the plus column. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
So, Deb, I haven't seen a movie in the movie theater in so long, but I
can't remember what movie I saw last. Do you remember what movie you saw last?
I think it was Milk.
Okay.
Feels like a long time. And I haven't seen a movie in a long time, and I somehow was looking up something else random here on the computer, and I was in one of these, I hit a website of a movie theater and live performance theater up in Wilmette. Wilmette is kind of what we call the North Shore. That would be where you're 30-something and your sisters and supposedly where they say Desperate Housewives, that kind of area of where those locales are. So, but there was this film they were showing that I had never heard of called The Secrets, which is a 2007 Israeli slash French film about these two Hebrew girls going to school, and there's kind of this mystery about it, and also they kind of fall for each other, and it was a great movie. I went to Wilmette to see a lesbo film. I thought, that is a chapter in my autobiography. I went to Wilmette for the lesbians.
Nice.
The, like, orthodox lesbian hot sex.
I like your synopsis.
Oh, hot Hasidic sex.
that's a tongue twister.
Ooh.
Oh, see what I did there?
Ooh.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good
one. But it's a really good movie, and I think it's coming out on DVD. I immediately had to email Di, our editor, and say, if you haven't seen this, put this in your queue.
I don't know this film.
Yeah. It was a beautiful little movie. My best friend up here, Heather Schmucker, and I went to go to the...
Met her.
Yes, you did. We went to the movies, and we were sitting there, and Heather leans over to me and said, when you're seeing a 2 o'clock matinee in Wilmette, you see like your 80s flash in front of your eyes, is all I have to say. And we were like the only Gentiles in the room and the only people under the age of 75.
I love
and,
that.
It was really funny because at pivotal moments, you know, you'd hear, oh my, she's gone, you know, and that kind of stuff. You hear like over our shoulder.
People talking to the movie.
Not through the whole thing, but just some climatic moments, yes.
Oh, so hilarious.
Quite funny, but I highly recommend it, especially to the ladies, I guess, or the bi's, sexies. But The Secrets, it's coming out on DVD, I think, this week. So
Yummy.
Put it in your queue.
Mm-hmm. We have a couple of really good films that have just come out recently here. The World Unseen is a really good one, if you want to check that out.
Oh, I've not heard of it.
What's that?
I've not heard of it.
Well, you Google it.
The World Unseen.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know you're in the world if you're not seeing it?
Exactly.
Interesting.
Well, she's. I think there's two films out, and they're set with brown women, with Indian women, and it is hot. It is so hot. These women are so hot.
Yeah.
Great plot too, but wow, hot.
I think we're countering the I Love You Man bromance film here with this. Tales of hot
in
ethnic
that.
Women, as opposed to the straight white male bromance.
Yeah, what is this bromance?
I don't know. I'm good. I think I'm good with it. I like guys to have some. They need to get in touch.
I don't
with
mind
their...
it, but I just don't. Yeah, I just maybe I shouldn't knock it till I, you know, see more of it. But
now, did you happen to catch Oprah's show on the Zion polygamist compound?
No, but those fascinate me. I normally PVR that stuff.
Yeah, I am telling you what, you know, because we love the show Big Love here in my household. And it's kind of nothing like Big Love. It reminded me actually of doing my Jonestown play quite a bit.
Creepy, right? Really dark and creepy and
not
weird.
Not dark. That's the weird thing. Like hollow and creepy. Do you know what
I
mean? It's
kind of
hollow and echoey and void, which is when I start thinking brainwashing and when I start thinking there's not a depth to the answer.
Yep.
I don't know. It was
It was really wild, but I thought, wow, Oprah, knowing what happened at Jonestown, and she's a black woman, and, you know, she asked them point blank if they had a problem with black people, and they were like, no, we wouldn't have invited you here if we thought, you know, we had a problem with black women. But of course, no, none of the kids there knew who she was. Most of the people there did not know who she was.
Oh, how dare they know that there's anything besides that?
Well, but you know, how freaky for Oprah. I mean, really, because it's all about Oprah on the Oprah show. I mean, how freaky for Oprah that everybody didn't know who she was.
It's good to have a humility pill once in a while.
She might need to go there every now and again and have a humility pill. Mm-hmm. You know, so it might be good grounding.
I mean, there's exposure happening at her one of her schools now. Seven girls have been charged with sexual harassment, sexual misconduct against and with other girls.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Was that recent?
Yes, very. Today.
Oh.
Yep.
Wow. That on the heels of this other thing, huh? Interesting. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on.
A lot going on in Oprah's world.
But I am fascinated by that stuff. But when I see like the Jeffries and stuff like that, it's obviously sad and tragic and brainwashy and culty and religious and gross and the ugly side of life for the women and children that live there. Not so much for the men, but that is really hard to watch. But there's something about it. It's a train wreck to me. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It is fascinating because time stands still.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's people in electricity and Mennonites and stuff like that. That's one thing. But then with these, you know, if you've got to call it a compound or something kind of weird about it anyway. But
well, they shied away from that too until Oprah said, well, the Kennedys had a compound. And they went.
And look at their luck.
Yeah, well.
Something in the name there.
But, you know, I just kept thinking, I had always thought, like, I could have a few sister wives. If I had to live a heterosexual life and a few sister wives.
Amy, if we had to, I mean, you know, if we had to, certainly.
Yeah.
It would be a bitter pill to swallow, but I'm sure we could do it.
You could come be a sister wife with me and Kelly, and we could pick a few others, maybe. I don't know. Helen Mirren would be head sister wife. That would be really good for me.
Yeah, no, they have to be really hot. But are you the the circle in this pinwheel? Is that the thing?
Am I because, the what?
Well, there has to be a primary, right? Doesn't there have to be like the one?
There's the first wife. That's why I said it would have to be Helen. You know, have to be the older woman.
Okay, but I couldn't have sex with Helen if I was your fourth wife. I would have to only have sex with you on Thursdays. Or when the sun sets at 7:14.
Well, we'd have to be having sex with our husband, and we just have to be loving each other. This is what I gathered from.
Do you think
there's
lesbian stuff going on in there?
Oh, yes.
I hope so. At least they'll be getting something.
The problem is that none of them look like, you know, Chloe Svigny or Svenye or how you pronounce her name.
They all look like Caroline
Jeannie Triplehorn or... They all look like Holly Hobby. They all have these ruddy cheeks with these red... kind of red, ruddy-cheeked skin that looks like it has been scrubbed with a Brillo pad.
Yeah.
And obviously really pale and hair down to their butt and the dresses with the poofy sleeves.
Oh, my God, all made at home from...
And look, they look like dolls. It's very strange.
Yeah, it is really weird.
It's very, very strange.
And that's why it hasn't progressed, right? There is no progression. There's no, you know... Their footwear has to be, though, because you can't. That's not as easy to make.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they do buy stuff. They had little golf carts driving around through the compound, you know. It's not like they all had cell phones in the pockets of their dress. Isn't that funny?
They're all wearing Doc Martens with their dresses.
Doc Martin Mary Janes.
That's right.
Every femme lesbian's first pair of lesbianic footwear.
I find it fascinating when people get out, you know, like Lisa, is it Lisa Ling? She does all these great exposés where she'll go back with this, you know, escapee or whatever, and people will start driving by and threaten, you know, very physically threatening and all that stuff. Just crazy. Yeah.
Yep. Well, and I do think it was horrific, you know, the way I mean, I can only imagine how traumatic and horrific it was, especially if these people are in a state of not totally being in their bodies and minds. You know, to have military rush in there and with guns and ripping kids from moms.
I thought that was really harsh and really.
I mean,
terrible.
I don't care, you know, what they're doing. I think that that's harsh. I mean, I don't think it's just a hotbed of everybody's being But
you
sexually
mentioned
abused.
Kids growing up like that being abused, undeniably, or completely deniably, but the kids are abused on many different levels, right, obviously, especially with kids having...
They work all day long.
But to have them as victims and then come on and rip them from the only thing they know...
Yep.
That's a really bad call on the people that look after the welfare of children. I think that was a really, really abrasive call.
U.S. government. And we just heard this week that Obama's spokesperson said, you know, that don't ask, don't tell, which was supposed to be something that was dealt with very early on. They've said now it's not a top priority. There's too many other top priorities. This is not high on our agenda now. And yet, we're sending troops into Afghanistan,
it's an active military right now.
It's an active military, and it should be a top priority because there are GLBT people who want to serve, and they want to serve without fear, and they want to serve without hesitation and reservation of being authentically, fully in themselves and at their best performance level if we are truly going to win this war and in Afghanistan, whatever the fuck that means. So I'm unhappy with that.
I dated a first lieutenant in the U.S. Air Force, and she was kind of out to some people.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly her roommate, who was also serving in the Air Force, he knew, obviously, because I was coming down every 2-3 weeks from Toronto to North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
you know, two-bedroom apartment. So when you are in the military, there are little pockets of people that you entrust, not mm-hmm. just the other queers that are mm-hmm. with you. There are people that you can trust and entrust with that truth, but... obviously, to be working in that environment, that extra stress added on top of it, for what?
Right.
What is the proof that that matters? How does that matter? If the government is trying to acknowledge through Proposition 8, if the government is trying to not acknowledge same-sex equality, I'll say same-sex equality as much as marriage, how is it that the government-run military is not following suit somehow? How is that?
I don't know how we're so far behind on that. And I know what our administration has been for the past 8 years. But
it wasn't exactly that progressive beforehand.
No, that's what I'm... Well, no, it wasn't. But, you know, I mean, obviously we weren't in active wartime with the Clinton administration. They made many mistakes. And believe you me, they definitely threw us under the bus. Where Don't Ask, Don't Tell and DOMA and many other things were... brought to the surface. But mm-hmm. I really just thought, you know, this is a president of change. This would have been a huge action of change to show that we are, you know, aligned with the ways of the military of most of the EU. I mean, it just makes absolutely no sense. So I don't know. But I was very saddened by that. I don't want to be down about our president because I think that's what the other side, so to speak, with the, you know, very far conservatives are trying to do and just letting him. But when he makes actions like this, he's going to, you know, he's going to upset people. And now he's got them all linked on Facebook and all linked on
Twitter
and our text
Facebook
mobiles
to
and
Twitter to me.
Yeah. Well,
I can't, I might even get off Facebook.
Are you?
Yeah. It might be too much for me. There might be too much.
Is it because Oprah just got on?
No, I didn't know Oprah got on, but it might be too much for me. I get invites to things all over, well, North America, but then city-specific stuff. There's nightly events, there's weekly events, there's special events, there's one-off events. It might be too much.
Yeah.
And it's not a matter of popularity. It's just a matter of being linked into these networks that everyone just gets an invite.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get off right after my best friend's having a 40th birthday party for me on June 3rd. After that, after I use the resources that are Facebook, then I'll consider leaving.
June 3rd?
June 3rd. It's my birthday.
June 3rd?
Yeah.
You're turning 40?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you've gotten the tattoo. When we come back, we're going to tell you what else Deb Pierce is going to do for her 40th. I've already heard tale of this.
How did you know?
I know so many things. I'm not on Facebook, but all of my friends are. So there you go.
Oh, God, that's terrifying.
Woo! We do some more news. We'll be back.
Celebrating over 30 years as Chicago's own internationally acclaimed contemporary dance company, Hubbard Street Dance Chicago presents its 2009 Celebrity Cast Party, a GLBT event. Join the dancers and fans of Hubbard Street Dance on Sunday, April 5th, for a matinee performance and a party immediately following at the Fairmont Chicago, featuring signature cocktails, delicious hors d'oeuvres, dancing, and more. You won't want to miss the fun, fabulous event. Tickets start at $125 and are available now at hubbardstreetdance.com or by calling 312-850-9744, extension 164. Hubbard Street Dance Chicago thanks Exelon, Centron Halstead, the Fairmont Chicago, and Windy City Media Group for support of this event.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And here's more of this week's news.
In New York City, 16-year-old John Cateas has confessed to the fatal stabbing of radio journalist George Weber, age 47. Cateas apparently responded to a Craigslist ad in which Weber offered to pay him $60 for sex. Cateas, a Satan-worshipping teen with a girlfriend and a propensity for violence, stabbed Weber as many as 50 times.
Edinburgh, Pennsylvania University wrestler Paul Donahoe lost in the finals of the 125-pound class of the NCAA's Wrestling Championships. Donahoe made news by being kicked off the University of Nebraska wrestling team after it was discovered he exposed himself on a gay porn website.
Steve Schmidt, a former campaign advisor for Senator John McCain, has publicly stated his support for same-sex marriage and a more inclusive Republican Party. Schmidt has said that his views on gay rights are influenced by his lesbian sister and the difficulties and discrimination she faces. McCain's daughter, Megan, has also declared that she believes in same-sex marriage.
The president of the NAACP's Cincinnati, Ohio chapter has appointed Chris Finney, an anti-gay attorney, to its board. Finney wrote Article 12 in 1993 that prohibited city officials from passing laws to protect gays and lesbians. However, the measure was repealed in 2004.
In Gainesville, Florida, 58% of voters have rejected a measure that would have done away with the city's anti-discrimination protection for GLBT residents.
The Murrieta Temecula Republican Assembly, a local chapter of the conservative GOP activist group California Republican Assembly, plans to host author Scott Lively, who wrote a book that claims gays largely orchestrated the Holocaust, on April 3rd. Recently, Lively flew to Uganda, where he argued that gays should undergo conversion therapy as an alternative to that country's current punishment of imprisonment.
Trans youth face extremely high levels of victimization in school, but are also more likely to speak out about GLBT issues in the classroom. This according to GLSEN's first comprehensive study on transgender students. Among the findings is that almost 9 out of 10 trans students experienced verbal harassment at school in the past year.
Openly gay U.S. Rep. Barney Frank offered specifics but did not apologize after referring to Supreme Court Justice Scalia as a homophobe. Frank said, "What a homophobe means is someone who has prejudice about gay people, and that, based on Scalia's opinions, he's angry, frankly, about the existence of gay people."
Living with Pride, an addiction recovery house tailored specifically to the needs of the GLBT community, opened its doors March 1st on Chicago's North Side. Living with Pride is staffed 24 hours a day by volunteers.
And in world news, in Serbia, legislators narrowly approved an anti-bias law that bars discrimination based on a number of factors, including race, religion, and sexual orientation. Parliament passed the bill 127-59, one more vote than was needed for passage.
The late Diana, Princess of Wales, and former South African President Nelson Mandela are two of the personalities identified as gay icons in an exhibition opening in July at London's National Portrait Gallery. The 10 gay men and women on the selection panel included Sir Elton John, Sir Ian McKellen, and Billie Jean King. Each picked 6 people who inspired them.
In entertainment news, I Love You, Philip Morris, a movie in which Jim Carrey plays a real-life man who's hot for the title character portrayed by Ewan McGregor, might not get a release in the U.S. because people are too squeamish about a gay sex scene in it. TLA Video's Lewis Tice, who saw the film, said, "The surprising part is that the bottom is this muscle bearish type who is on all fours getting a really hard pounding by Carrey. I think Carrie is convincingly fantastic in this film.
Addressing gay rumors in ARP magazine, Dolly Parton referred to her childhood girlfriend and personal assistant Judy Ogle and her husband of 43 years, Carl Dean, as special rare gifts. Describing her relationship with Ogle, Dolly said, "We're absolutely totally honest, open, and comfortable with each other. We've been accused of being lovers. We do love each other, but we've never been like that."
Actress Nikki Reed of 13 and Twilight will play a trans individual in the movie K-11. Reed said, "My character, named Mousy, is a male prostitute and he goes in and out of jail." She added, "I don't really have the most androgynous look, so that is going to be interesting. I'm playing a man who has become a woman." And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Five, six, seven, eight!
Thousands audition, 24 get to the stage. But in the end, only 8 will win the chance to dance. This is the story of the ones who make it and the ones who don't. A Chorus Line, the best musical ever.
Begins April 14th at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater. For tickets, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Cast recording available on Masterworks Broadway.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 30th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater's 50th anniversary celebration comes to the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University April 1st through the 5th. Opening night features a cappella ensemble Sweet Honey and the Rock live on stage. Don't miss Alvin Ailey showcasing 2 Chicago premieres and 2 new productions. For 6 performances only and seats are selling fast, visit auditoriumtheater.org.
Million Dollar Quartet is a hit, raves the Chicago Tribune. On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the new rock and roll musical, Million Dollar Quartet, now extended at the Apollo Theater. Don't miss this show. For tickets to Million Dollar Quartet, visit Ticketmaster.com.
And don't miss the hilarious comedy Don't Dress for Dinner, starring Patricia Callamber, formerly of TV's Sisters. Playing now at the Royal George Theater. For tickets to Don't Dress for Dinner, go online at don'tdressfordinner.com.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Deb?
Yes?
I hear that you want to feel the vibration between your legs.
Pardon me?
Mmm.
Oh!
I hear that you want to cycle with the cycle.
I want to get my motorcycle license and a motorcycle. Yes.
So this is what you're going to do at 40. See, I used to say at 65 I was going to start riding a Harley and I was going to smoke Marlboro Reds all over again.
I love it. That's a great goal and a great visual. Ha hot. I'm not waiting that long. I want to get my motorcycle license and I want to get a motorcycle. So there's 3 things on my, it's not my bucket list, but it's just my wish list. Get a tattoo, swim with sharks, get a motorcycle.
Swim with sharks. Okay. I don't know when that's going to happen. That's going to happen by 40 as well?
No, that'll be happening after I get my diving and then maybe go to one of your favorite places where the water is as clear as the sky.
Yeah, but they don't have a lot of sharks down there. You're going to have to go to, like, Australia, my love.
Oh, God, not yet. They keep coming inshore and in droves right now. I just hope it's not the last thing I do. What a bummer that would be. What a great way to go. But wouldn't it be so me to be like, dramatic exit? That would be great. And horrible, horrible. I'm not wishing, I'm knocking on wood. But yes, I would like a motorcycle. God, I hope my mom's not listening. You know, she calls it a murder cycle, and she said over my dead body. I'm like, well,
I've heard them called donor cycles. That's what I always hear them called.
Oh, or crotch rockets. I wouldn't get a crotch rocket. I'd get a classic, like a, yeah, I don't want a crotch rocket. I don't have that much testosterone.
Crotch rocket makes it sound kind of sexy. Donor cycle makes it sound like what it possibly can be.
Yeah. So, yeah, I do want to do that. I do want to do that. I was talking about getting a scooter, right? Getting a scooter.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, no, a motorcycle, yeah. Too right. So that's going to be happening. I'm hoping to get Proud FM to get involved somehow. You know, get a little advertising here, a little motorcycle license. there, because you have to take a course, right?
Now, why don't gay men ride motorcycles? Do they not? Guys, do you just not like the feel of vibration between your, you know, under your balls? I don't get it.
I would. I like it under my balls. I don't know. I don't think I know a single, maybe some bears. I know some bears that like bikes.
Yeah.
I do know that. Like a
bears
gold,
with
a
bikes.
A Goldwing or something. But no, that's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, why not?
Well, maybe it's just too fast. I don't know why.
Maybe it messes up their hair. I don't know.
Oh, my God. It could be the hair thing.
They'd have to wear a helmet.
How many gay men do you want to offend?
I'm not.
Well, you would
Stephen
think
Rader
extension.
And Mitchell wouldn't have a problem. They're both bald, so they could ride motorcycles. I have to there ask Stephen Rader this very important question next time I talk to him.
Hi, Stephen.
Why don't you all ride motorcycles? Why only dykes on bikes? I would love bears on bikes. That would be so super cute.
I should ask somebody.
Because I love the bears. We had like a whole table of bears at Stargaze for Windy City Gay Idol.
Do you want me to ask somebody right now for a quick one-off answer?
Yes.
Okay, literally. Hold
because
on.
She is in the Proud FM, Toronto's all-gay radio station in Toronto.
Why
so.
Don't gay men, this is not a joke, although I would love to hear your punchline, why don't gay men ride motorcycles, or do they?
We're more, not fashion enough. It's like, do you think Harley Davidson? No, not so much, but the Vespas and things, for sure.
Okay, the Vespas. He
right.
said they like to ride the Vespas.
Thank you. All right. Thank
How
Patrick.
Emasculated do they need to get?
I know, but
for
then
God's
they picture
sake.
Themselves all.
They
linen
don't like motorcycles. On. They're not fashionable, but we like Vespas.
See?
Oh, my God.
Now we haven't offended everybody because we've actually consulted. We have a gay consultant.
I love you, man.
Oh, I want a bromance.
I want a bromance.
I want a bromance. Let's think of a name for.
We have a bromance, right?
I know, but I want to get it like an estrogen and an estrophil. I want to have something that has the same ring to it. Bromance. You and I definitely do, but
no, I just want to have a bromance. These are people who like play sports together. And
that's you and I.
Cruise chicks together. And
listen, I got to tell you, I have been practicing tennis on Wii.
Have you? On Wii.
I'm amazing on Wii. I kick ass on Wii. I've got a good friend that comes over and plays with Lee and I, and she says that I do this Cinderella step mm-hmm. because just when I'm setting up for my forehand or my backhand, I must do this step, step, step. Mm-hmm. This 1-2-3 step. Because I've grown up with it. I don't know uh-huh. what I'm doing it. I'm just step, step, step and getting into position.
Uh-huh.
I've been more active in my living room since I got this Wii, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. You're sweating a lot in your living room. This is what I know.
I am sweating in my living room. Yeah.
We had Kelly's niece and nephew in town this past past weekend, and we went to the ESPN zone. Now, that I guarantee you, well, maybe the lesbians listening to this have heard of this. I don't know. I couldn't find a more place for more bromances and more heterosexuality throbbing, you know, corner to corner. But It's basically ESPN has a, you know, like a Hard Rock Cafe kind of place. So the downstairs is wings and everything fried and lots of, you know, the drink menu is bigger than the food menu and 100 television screens all showing, you know, college ball was what was going on while we were there.
Wow.
And then upstairs is an entire gaming area. It's enormous, but all of the games are sports. Now, I'm the kind of arcade girl who played pinball and Pac-Man and Galactica.
Right.
And I mean, if you call Galactica shooting something, but none of mine were sporty.
No, there wasn't those. Pong was the sportiest thing, I think, that kind of resembled tennis-ish. That was the only sporty thing.
Yeah, but you
right?
could definitely go to
safe.
Like a fair or something and throw basketball hoops and stuff like that.
Or
like, I never did
thing.
Any of that.
Right, okay.
So they had, like, you know, regular basketball hoops and then college basketball hoops and throw a, you know, a ball. The only thing they had that I understood was air hockey. They had bowling. They had field hockey or hockey where you had, like, a hockey stick in this netted room. And then they had this thing that was, I said, they should be doing some sort of sexual event here. I could so sell it. I could get a beer or an alcohol around this so quick. It was the thoroughbred horse racing. and you're sitting on like
I've seen it
a saddle, right?
I love
and you got
it.
Your feet
and you have
in stirrups,
to ride it,
and you have to ride it. And I, if I could have stopped laughing, I think I could have won the Triple Crown.
That were you on it? You got on it?
Oh, yes.
The Triple Crown.
I was like, I am so getting on this horse. And
I love that's hilarious.
It was
and you,
so
you have
funny.
To go really fast. Like you
oh,
really
Oh my yeah. Lord. I mean, I think even real jockeys would have a problem with this because they'd be too small.
Yeah, it is pretty small, but that's what makes it even funnier, especially, you know, seeing somebody, because you're tall. You're tall
no.
to me anyway.
Kelly is tall. Kelly's 6'1". I was laughing so hard.
She must have looked hilarious.
It was the funniest damn thing ever, and you're like riding this horse, and you're like, okay, there are 200 people turning around and watching us do this. Like, nobody's watching you throw basketballs. Nobody's really watching you do air hockey. You get
yeah, that's
yourself
not sexy.
Straddled
you get,
across
you get a
saddle.
Woman on a horse riding yeah. it, a bucking bronco, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, it hilarious. Was the funniest thing ever. It was so funny. I will never probably be at the ESPN zone again unless the kids come back, and then they loved it. But, it was very funny.
That is funny. Yeah, we have something similar to that here. It's called Dave and Buster's.
Oh, we have Dave and Buster's here, but yeah, they don't have so those horses at Dave and Buster's.
They don't.
Not at ours.
Why do I say A when I talk to you? Because I'm Canada?
A?
Is that why? Why would
Because you're Canadian and
yeah,
you're Canadian.
I am. Oh, Mitchell, sweet Mitchell.
Oh, sweet Mitchell. Hey, will you be on with me again next week?
I'd love to. I'd love it. Let's talk. I've got something I want to talk to you about.
Uh-oh.
But I've got to take a deep breath. Ready?
Okay.
LGBTTIQQ2S.
Say that again?
LGBTTIQQ2S.
Oh, the kids these days. Why can't they just call themselves gay?
I know.
What is that? I have no idea what that huge acronym was for.
We'll talk about it.
Oh, next time?
Sure.
Okay.
Wow, want to talk about it now?
No, that's a little bit of a teaser. I like
that's
it.
That's what we call in the industry a forward sell tease.
Ooh.
And Pride's getting ready. I want to talk to you about what you do. You're flawless. Why am I asking you? I want to talk to your listener, the listener. What do you do to get ready, and how soon is too soon for Pride seasons?
Ooh.
I mean, ladies, you don't want to be wearing that sport bra if you haven't been out all winter. You know what I mean?
Well, that we can definitely talk about. I am on a plan and a path for that, but not really for gay Pride. I'm just ready for the beach.
Right, see?
It's all the same thing. I'm yeah. proud and gay every day, 365 of the year.
No shit.
So we'll be back with Deb Pierce next week. Also on our next show, Bob Mould. That's right. Husker Dude. That's what I'm talking about. He has a new CD. He's on tour. And I get to talk to Bob Mould. That's so super cool. My girlfriend was like, tell him I used to get stoned and listen to him in the back of my car.
Who didn't?
Excellent. I did tell him that, but off the air. But I'm telling you now on the air. So, you know, there you go.
Now it's out
Secrets
there.
About my sister wife. All right, everybody. Deb, enjoy Toronto.
I got to get outside. It's too nice over here. It's springy. I got to get outside.
Woo! And we'll be back with Bob Mould next week and Deb Pierce as well. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.